Let's pray. Out of my mind and I put it all on paper that I for me, I did it like on Thursday. I would still do it Sunday morning because it gets like just throw. We're going to be in Genesis today. So, not today, but we're going to finish Genesis before the end of the year, like I told you. And so flip over to Genesis. Some of you guys are like, well, that's where we were at last week. Well, in case you didn't know, like Genesis 45, like all year. So I want to hit this again just enough. And then I want to just there because I do want to, in the next couple weeks, so we're just going to kind of move through and get ready for what's coming up next year. And so, you know, what we're going to do, and I've kind of got some ideas. So, I guess before, let me just ask you a question. I don't know how this is going to be in a recording because you can't really see how many people raise their hand, but, and you don't even have to raise your hand. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I guess that not every one of you, and I just wait sometimes, not every one of you is like the best in the world at getting in the Word every single day, right? Like a lot, right? And you, is there maybe even, God forbid, a week where I didn't do anything, right? Just for what God's got for me, right? Man, the last time I heard somebody, the last time I was at church, right? And so, years ago, I did this thing in a year. And it was just in the world every day, right? And it was something we did together. I'm thinking about it. And I think this might be the direction I go off. But I want to tie it into here in Passpoint, and that way it keeps you accountable. Because here's what ended up is great, right? Everybody has to start a diet in January, right? Gym and all this stuff happens. Even the really good ones, like February 2nd, or you know, and life just in general. Nate, we're not going to talk about the gym with me because the only gym I know is my dad. So. But I just, in general, you know, we mentioned, you know, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to read through the Bible in a year. And so for those who don't know, and we'll get into this later, to get through the Bible in a year, it's just like barely over 3 chapters a day. So it's like, that's really not that hard if you're diligent. You miss a day or two, and then it's like, then you're behind, and then by January, or maybe you get into February or March, and it's like, far behind, I can't really keep up. And so here's what my in the Word every day. Engage us to do something together, right? Even take this a little bit farther and try to do maybe like some smaller groups where you guys can ask each other about what you're reading or something. I don't know. But to engage you guys, and then where each Sunday that God gave me throughout that week of the same thing that you guys and teach out of it. You know, and that gives me like 20-something chapters every week. It'll make my life really easy.
It's
going to
be awesome.
Huh?
Numbers is going to be awesome.
Oh, yes. Hey, what? I'm going to do it. I didn't really think about that. I think it might be a way just to get everybody engaged, because I know you, because I that's right, and it's hard. And this way, if you miss some, you know, July is like, forget it, and you're back. However long, you know. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. So we, you know, maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. I've been kind of leaving, telling you I've been thinking about something, but I haven't told you. I figured I should tell you. So okay, Genesis chapter. So study of Joseph. I've been asking you for right here in the questions, and that's asking you that, and I want to hit this again. But some of you weren't here, and even if you were here, this to bounce even farther into where we're at. You know, I ask you, do you right? Yeah, I do. Okay. Joseph did as well, and you'll see why. And the next question was, even if God uses you in any circumstance, right? God then. But sometimes your circumstances are good, right? And the last question, you believe those two things, are you willing to be used by God, right? And that's what Joseph was. And so Genesis chapter 4, right? And so he started with his parents in the pit, right? His brothers. And then he gets accused by Potiphar's wife, not Potiphar, thrown into the palace, right? And so that's where we're at. You guys know where we're at. And so chapter 45. And I just want to read the beginning of it. This is the whole story. I get it, right? And at least verse chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain from his brothers in disguise and whatnot. He could not refrain from all of them that stood by him, and he cried. Pretty serious about this, right? And there stood no man while Joseph made himself known to his brother, and he wept. Pharaoh heard him. So he's serious about this break. And Joseph said to him, Joseph, my father yet live. And his brother, these guys are like, you're who? Right? What? For ours, because we're in trouble. They're thinking. And Joseph came to me, and they came near, and he said, I pulled into Egypt. You remember that? These brothers are like, this is going down. This is where Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. I remember Tom and bored to death when we teaching this in the youth, right? And this, he's a very melancholy kind of guy, and never really gets. He was teaching it. He was teaching this that day, and back when the youth was really. It was when he was. Hey, this was been painted, and he's teaching something about how Joseph's going on his life long. And he gets up on the wall. And it's probably still
painted over it.
Oh, did they? But I'm like, and I was there thinking important. Right? And this is where, because you know what? Joseph don't. And I'll just call it what we don't. Right? He gets control and we're not. He gets the fact, no matter how much we like to control the circumstances, last week, and I'm going to get moved on, but we like our own thing, right? And we like to have, you know, God. And so, what he says, this is what he tells us, that he told his brother, 22 years, I don't think I told you that, 22 years, he's been through some stuff in 22 years, right? He finally gets his brother, and this is what he says. Therefore, in verse 5, now therefore be not angry with yourselves, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He's like, you know what? At the end of the day, but what you meant for evil, God took for good. God did something. All the stuff that I went through, I get it now. All the stuff that I had to suffer, covenant that Dad used to tell us about when we were kids, right? That, you know, God told Abraham, and then, or maybe Abraham, and then, you know, and then now, you know, Daddy Israel, Jacob. That covenant where he said that we were going to, he's like, it all makes sense now. Because if things that I went through, have all died in this famine. But God brought me here for Pharaoh, and now we're all going to live. He's like, Do you see what's happened? Do you see what you have to go through in life? Talking to you? Bringing in some of the hardship and some of God you, to mold you, to stretch you, to tie that over to, right? And happen again in a different story. But here's what happened. Like it is. We don't believe for your life. And like, yeah. And in a circumstance, well, yeah. The problem, you don't want to be used. You get to the third question, and you don't want to be used. I pray that you open doors that I would, when the opportunity is really uncomfortable, I would just, no, you say, because we don't see things like Joseph did. See that the hardships and, you know, the marriage struggles with our kids and losing loved ones or whatever. I'm talking about the really, we don't see those as things that God is using. God doesn't care. And we turn ourselves off to God and we just go on about life. We don't see things like Joseph. We don't keep things in perspective. And I kind of used that example last week. You know, Tom used it. You have to keep it in perspective, right? You're climbing a mountain and you can see. Sometimes you got to go back down the mountain. See what you're looking at anymore. Sometimes when really, right? I think I can. When things are, you have to just trust that God is in control, right? You have to trust that. His brothers, you know what? Grieve nor angry with yourselves that you sold me before you to preserve life. And if the thing that you can get out of, I mean, the whole book, more than anything, out of the life of Joseph, it's this right here. It all, you know what? When we, I'm just going to call, we don't, he did, and he was willing, right? He's in the pit. He's accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He's thrown in prison. The dudes that he interprets the dreams for in prison, they forget about him, right? I'm sure that was just a coincidence that, you know, happened to remember 2 years later when Pharaoh needed him to remember, right? It all adds up. When you read back through it, and you're like, when you know the end of the story, and you go back through and read it, it's like, wow, God was really doing something here. God was really doing something here. But here's what you have to remember. And I'll move on after this. Here's what you have to remember. Joseph had to decide within himself, not with his Sunday school teacher, not with his pastor, not with his wife or anything else. He had to decide within himself to submit to what God was doing. To submit to what God was doing. This is really bad. I'm in prison, and I don't think I'm ever going to get out. What can God use you for there? Right? If he wouldn't have every step of the way said, oh God, if this is where you want me, I'll be here the rest of my life, and I'll do it, and I'll just be happy about it. Right? Is that where you're at? Are you in your life where it's really and this is all right, it's wanted so badly and to move my a foreign country. I wanted to move to London, and who knows, I may end up there someday, I may end up in who knows. And it was like, just stay right here for now. And now that it's been what God was doing. But if I wouldn't have come, like, all right, God, if this is where you want me, then I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to serve. I'm going to serve. Right? And it has nothing to do with me because I've fallen a lot of times along the way. But no matter what, along the way, if this is where you want me, now think, if this is where you want me, God, just completely submitted to the fact that you may never go any farther. And you know what? Most people hear that out. Okay, well, you know what? Until you come to that in the sand with God and say, I'll do it. Except for that one thing, right? Well, what you need to do is just embrace the life that he's got you in right now. You're not where you're at right now by coincidence. It can't happen that way. I don't believe it can happen. Anyway, I talked a lot. Keep moving. So, I want to show you a few other times, just a chapter where he's completely submitted to the fact that God is in control. Verse 5, he says, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves hither, for God did send me, right? God did send me before you to preserve life. He talks in verse 6 about there's a famine. You guys don't realize that there's 5 more years of this famine coming. Again, he says, and God sent me before you to preserve you. He's like, you guys don't understand. I've kind of seen the whole picture now. Doing. Verse 8, he says, so that sent me, but God. You guys don't get it. I know you're so concerned about what's getting ready, but you need to understand that all along. And they're like, I know you're saying that, but what's getting ready to happen to us? Right? He says, right? And then Joseph says, God hath made me Lord of life. Tell Dad that this is what God has done, right? And here's something, and I'm going to move on from here. Here's something I never thought about until this morning. And I don't know what it was. It's just like a light bulb popped up. I've read this story a lot of times, right? I've probably read it. And that's just because I'm pushing through it. I've read the story of Joseph a lot. And this is something that I have never, and some of you guys may be like, well, I thought of it every time. It never hit me until this morning when I'm preparing for this. And I'm like, I never really thought of that. And I didn't read it somewhere. It was just like it finally came into my head when I was reading. It's like, I don't know how I never thought of that before. So, verse 9, he basically, all the way down to 15, he meets his brother. He's like, okay, we just need to hang out and talk for a minute because I'm not mad at you, right? And just reaffirming to him and says they all weep together, you know. And in verse 15, they all calm down. And he says, after that, his brethren talked with him. Sometimes you have to get past the emotion and just hang out for a minute and just be like, okay, maybe he's... So what happens after this? Versus Pharaoh, you know, because he finds out what's going on. He's like, oh, hey, yeah, you know, bring your family down, right? And then in verse 21, says, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them a provision for the way. All right, so he gives them all the stuff, sends them back with this to do. And get your dad and all the family and come to Egypt and live with me. Live here because we've got food here. because there's five more years of this family to die with. Right? Remember, I told you God sent me here to preserve life. So he sends them on with all these wagons and chariots and all this. Go tell Dad that I'm still alive and bring him back. And I've always read that. I'm like, you know, Dad's, you know, Joseph says that towards the end of the chapter that he feels like he could still have. Until this morning did I think about the fact of, what do you think the trip from Egypt to Canaan where they lived was like for those brothers? How are we going to explain this to Dad? We have lied to him. We have lied to him for 22 years. It's not just a coincidence now. And I don't think that Joseph's just going to leave out the fact of how this all went down when he, you know, sees Dad again. And, you know, but it's okay to the slavery. And, you know, and he's going to be like, what? They said that an animal ate you. Or some beast is what it says. That journey was like. There are a lot of mixed emotions, but that's what humility is, right? Sometimes you can have humility on your own, right? Sometimes you can just be that kind of person where you have humility on your own. You realize the circumstances, and you're like, you know what? I just want to be that kind of person. Your own sometimes. And there's other times that God will let you have some humility. God will set it up for you. You may be like, I'm not that kind of person. Okay, well, there are times that God will go ahead and let you live that out. They got to go to Dad and go ahead and... So this is what... Remember way back when we were talking, and he's like, where's all these wagons from? Well, a story, Dad. I don't really know where to start. I know my boys don't like to talk to me about everything, right? And it's just because she's such a pushover. Let's just be honest. But not really. Anyway. Yeah, so you see what happened back when we said he got taken by some beast. We're not really sure how that really went down. But he's not. He's alive. Here's the good news, Dad. He's alive. Joseph's alive. But we just remembered on the way home, right? And I just, but I never really thought of that until now, that they were faced with a decision. You know, what are you going to do? You know, obviously you've got to. It's like a forced humility. I am basically at a position where I am forced to go and confess my sins, right?
It's not because Joseph told them to. It's because they'll starve to death.
Yeah, it's like they could have been like, you know what? We're just going to keep hiding our sin, because that's what we do. Sin over and over and over again until we absolutely can't anymore. That's where they were at. They were like, huh. So, but I've just never thought about that. So, you know, maybe you guys, if that's come right out and it's no big deal, but that's just something that I've never really thought about. So that's, sometimes God will force you into a place of humility, a place of confession, right? And when you get to those points, don't fight it, right?
I wish I mentioned about that in here.
What?
I wish I mentioned, like, what what they talked about on the way back.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It would be. Yes, I mean, because, yeah.
We probably were, like, so excited, really forgot, till, like, the last minute, there's the smart brother.
Yeah.
And he was like, crap, guys, you didn't even think of this. And they're like, oh, my gosh, what do we do? They start freaking out.
Your old ideas.
First off,
the
lies.
They're like,
yes.
We need a game plan.
Yeah. How are we going to... It's just really... It's just one of those... Because this is real life, guys. This really happened. These things really happened, right? And so the same situations that we're faced with, the same things. We've got to come to a point where it's just like, okay, we screwed up, you know, but praise God that he blessed it. Praise God that he blessed it, because it could have been worse, right? So there we go. So, okay, that was chapter 45. I want to get to chapter 46 and at least get started on this. you know, because it kind of breaks down a little. So in verse chapter 46, let's just get into it. And it says Israel, about his new name, Israel, but, you know, Jacob, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. I think this is cool. He goes to Beersheba, and if you go back and study this out, Abraham and Isaac both, different times in their life, came here to offer sacrifice and to meet with God, right? And so that shows where he's at in life. You know, he goes out of his way. You know, I'm sure after the awesome explanation from his boys of, you know, so see Joseph again, and he goes out of his way. The most exciting thing that he could have in life right now isn't too exciting to go out of his way to worship first. That's just a... Anyway. Came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father's, of his father Isaac, and spake unto Israel, and he said, Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here am I. He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go, for I will there make of thee a great... Isn't it kind of cool how sometimes you feel like God's leading you down a path, or you feel like life is leading you down a path, and it's like, well, this is kind of the only option. You know, sometimes you've got lots of options to choose from, and you're like praying about the right one. Sometimes it's like, this is the only option, right? It's this or nothing. And so, isn't it, maybe you have been through this, maybe you haven't, when that's the only option you got, and God comes alongside you, and he's like, hey, this is what you're supposed to be doing, right? This is right where you're supposed to be at right now. You know, this is, and that's what basically what God came right alongside, and he's like, hey, don't worry about going down to Egypt, because I'm going to make of you a great nation there. And he's like, wow, that's the same promise to dad, right? And even though we're starving in Canaan and we're having to go to Egypt, a picture of the world, right? I don't know that he knew it was a picture of the world at the time, but this is where he wants me, right? This is where he wants me. You know, you want a little devotion through that, you know. Sometimes God will send you to the world, and that's okay. Sometimes God will send you to the world, and that's okay, to grow you, right? And I don't mean, like, go live like the world, but he is sending them to Egypt, a picture of the world, to grow of them a great nation, right? Sometimes God will send you to your lost friends, your lost family, your lost, to grow you up a little bit, right? Just a devotion. Verse 4, and I will go down with thee in Egypt, and I will, this is a cool promise, because I don't think that all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren down the line remembered this, you know, when they were like, we're never going to get out of Egypt. He says, I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph, right? That's just a really cool thought. It's like God's like, hey, it's cool for you to go down to Egypt, and I'll come one at a time. And Jacob rose up, verse 5, rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry the cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan. Jacob and all his seed with him, and his sons and his sons' sons with him, and his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all the seed that he had brought with him in Egypt. Everything they got, they moved. That's basically what they're trying to portray here. Everything they had, they moved. Everything they got. Sometimes God will completely uproot you and move. And that's okay. And that's okay. Because you know what? Whether you're faithful here, you need to be faithful there. Whatever it is, right? And then it goes into, it basically just lists out everybody who went, right? Because there weren't a whole lot of them at the time. It lists out everybody who went. If you want to go through and, you know, read all that, you can. I'm going to keep moving. If you read in verse 7, I think. Yes. At the end of verse 27, it says there were 70. 70, right? However many score is 20s. 20, 40, 60, and 10. 70, right? So if you knew that, if you didn't know that, when you read those numbers in the Bible, that's like in 20s. I don't know. That's just how they count it. I don't know. Anyway, so... So yeah, there were 70 of them. So okay, verse 28... Finish up this, maybe wrap it up after this. So this is where they finally get together. He sent Judah before him, that's a, I don't know why, but just kind of, Judah just kind of takes on the role of the elder child, right? After the sin of Reuben. You can go back and study that out sometime, but kind of taking on the role of the eldest child. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his son to Goshen. Goshen, I don't know how they say that. And they called him into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck. Oh, can you imagine? Joseph, when you think about this for just a second, I'll keep moving. Joseph spent 22 really, really hard years of life. Really, really hard years of life. He went from the chosen child, chosen one, to all of the stuff that he went through. And now here he is, right back where God said he would be. Brothers, the 11 brothers bowing down to him, right? All that. So he went through stuff, and all he ever wanted was to be back with Dad. And now here the reunion's finally here, right? I just think that's kind of cool to think about. He says he wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, things he could have said, we're going to kill your brothers, right? And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art. And then he says, we're going to kill you. No. Said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren were in the land of Canaan are coming to me, which Pharaoh knew they were coming. But this is like the beginning of him setting up a really good place for them for the next several years. And it kind of rolls into the next chapter a little bit. So he's like, here's what I'm going to do. Because Joseph is always thinking, right? And that's how you gotta be the same. You've always got to be thinking three steps ahead. Always just thinking about what you're doing right now, you're always going to be behind. But even when he was going through all of the stuff in life, he was, what's God going to use me for down the line? What's it? He's thinking. Because here's, if you kind of know how things went in Egypt at the time, you know, and I know because I was there, not really, but I did read kind of about this, and you know, for the kind of the law of the land on how somebody who just pop into, you know, the country and now they're the chosen ones, right? You know, because you're Joseph, wherever you want. He's already trying to set them up in a way that it won't, that it'll all work out, and you what I'm talking about. So, you know, my whole point here is you've got to be thinking ahead. No matter what it's in life, you're thinking ahead. Right? Always. And Chris, you need to be thinking about your fourth child, not the one you're getting ready to have. You've got to be thinking ahead, right? Whatever it is in life, you've got to be thinking down. No, I just I had to throw that in there. He says, where was, I don't even know where is that. Yeah, okay, well, 30, he says, Pharaoh, and tell him that they're came to me, that they're here. Verse 32, and the men tell Pharaoh, right? This is important, so hear this out, because I've got to go a little bit into the next chapter, and I'll be done, but this is important, because I've always read this, and I've never completely understood it, and it finally kind of made sense the way that, this is what he's going to tell Pharaoh. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been and their herds and all the things, right? So feed cattle, you're a shepherd, right? Doug's a shepherd now. No, that's what he is. So that's what they are. They're shepherds, right? And it came to pass when Pharaoh should call you, because he's like, this is what's going to happen. Pharaoh's going to want to meet you guys. And when he calls you, this would you shall say, he's going to say, what's your occupation? He's like, I know this guy. That's what he's going to ask you. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. He's like, this is what you need to tell Pharaoh. That's what you do. That's the only thing that you know, right? And that you've heard, you know, from me, that there's a good place in Goshen, right? And so Joseph's already setting this thing up, and he's like, this is why. And here's what that never made any sense to me. It says, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. And I always took that as, well, these guys just really don't like shepherds, right? And so they're not. So how's this going to work out, right? And so let me read a little bit into the next chapter, and then I'll explain it all, and we'll be done. Verse 40, or chapter 47 says, then Joseph came unto Pharaoh, just like he said he was going to do, and said, their flocks and their herds, all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. Goshen, Goshen, whatever. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them to Pharaoh, put him to Pharaoh, just like he said what they were going to do, what is thy occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. Well, Joseph said to say that you were taking care of cattle, and they said that they were shepherds, right? And I always read that, so I'll go back to it. They said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land we are come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, and for the famine of sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray, let thy servants dwell in Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and brethren come unto thee, before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and their brethren dwell, in the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. So here's how this went down. It's like, hey, we're going to go, and I'm going to go and talk to Pharaoh, right? Because we're kind of close. And I'm going to tell him that you guys are here. He knew you were coming. And he's, you know, I'm going to tell him that you guys are shepherds, right? And they're like, okay. And he's like, when he calls you up to him, he's going to say, hey, what do you guys do, right? What's your occupation? And he says that you shall say thy servant's trade hath been about cattle. Doesn't say shepherds, it's that have been about cattle, right? Okay, well then you jump into the next chapter, and just like he said, he's like, hey, bring some of your brothers. They come up, they stand before Pharaoh, and he's like, he says, we're shepherds. And I'm like, did they get wrong, right? I'm like, did they set themselves up for failure here because Joseph said not to say that? And it's pretty much the same word when you look at it, you know, in the Greek, you know, about the flock and shepherds, right? You can interchange them. So they didn't mess up by saying we're shepherds. The whole reason that this is even in here, and it's like confusing, the people of Egypt were shepherds. That's pretty much all they did. They took care of the flocks. You know, obviously they grew corn too, but they took care of the flocks. And so what they were trying to do was, as he said in the end of chapter 34, or verse 34, the end of chapter 46, he says that for every shepherd is an abomination. The Egyptians. They don't want you coming in here doing what they can already do for themselves. They don't want you coming in here taking over their land. And so, Goshen, if you look into it, is a place in very northern Egypt where there's not a lot of people. Joseph setting this whole thing up from the beginning to bring his family in, be able to take care of them, but keep them away from most of the other mainstream everyday life of the Egyptians, where you're not going to hack a bunch of people off, where you're not going to, more importantly, start to intermingle, politically correct way to say start intermingling, right? And so, physically. So, this is their way of him providing a place for them where they've got a good place to be, and they're not going to start being the Egyptians. They're not going to hack all these guys off for coming into the. Right, they're already hungry. Why are you bringing more hungry people in, right? And so the whole thing goes down, and when you read it, it kind of sounds confusing, but from the beginning, Joseph's like, hey, maybe you should just slightly throw in this Goshen thing, right? Because I've already set this up, and this is where you came from. And Pharaoh's like, oh, if that's where you came from, then that's where you ought to just go then and stay there. In the beginning, Joseph had a plan. He was always thinking three steps ahead, right? He was always looking at what God would want him to do. God doesn't want the... He doesn't want his chosen people to go move right into the big city of Egypt, wherever the big city of Egypt would be at the time. I don't know. So it kind of makes sense that he's protecting what God wants him to protect, right? Their own seed. And at the same time, he's given them a place to live, right? He's always thinking ahead, right? And you're like, well, what does that have to do with me? I don't know. Are you thinking ahead with whatever it is in life, right? Because he's planning this thing out from the very beginning, right? And the last thing to see in there is it says, and this is what Pharaoh says, and he says at the end of verse 6, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, meaning in Goshen, right? If there's already some guys there, because Pharaoh's thinking the same thing, I don't want you to go and just cause this be a big riff, right? If there's people, he said, if there's any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. He's like, I'll send some of my cattle over there, and they can use the land a little bit too for some of my cattle, and then you guys can still be separate, but this way we're not. He did it right. Sometimes it's hard to go about things and do them the right way, right? Sometimes it's just easier to just whatever works, right? But sometimes you just got to go about it and do it the right way, right? And that's what they were doing. So we'll get farther into it next week. You know, it kind of just gets into more details as we wrap it up, but I really do got to go back and read it. The story of Joseph, now that you kind of see where it was going the whole time, what God was doing the whole time, what God was using Joseph for. At some point in your life, you have to just simply decide within yourself, if this is what God wants me for, then okay, here I am. Right? If this is what, are you content to be where you're at right now for the rest of your life? Because if you're not, that's where God's going to leave you. Until you're content, until you can show contentment and be like, okay, if this is where you want me to serve forever, God, then this is where I'm going to serve forever. I'm not there anymore. Wow. Right? Yourself that this, if this is where you want me, God, praise the Lord. I'm going to be the best at it ever. Right? If you come on the floor, I'm going to have this floor clean forever. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for us today, Lord. I do thank you for the past point class, Lord. It's just awesome to be just among a group of people that just really love you. I thank you for the church here at Heartland and just all the believers. Just worship you. So, Lord, I do pray that you just be with us this week. Send us out as lights in a dark world, Lord. We're just getting about the Christmas season. Lord, I do. Just this week of the people in Pass Point, people going with some things and going through some things and just transitions and this, that, and the other. Lord, I pray that you would just keep them focused on you and that that you would just use it to glorify your kingdom. Lord, I pray you just use us this week in Christ's name. Amen.